Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 432.
Woo!
Thank you for being so excited, Pat.
Always excited.
There you go. It's October, my favorite month. So, I'm excited for October.
Going trick-or-treating.
I'm not going trick-or-treating. It's just always been my favorite month.
I gotta wonder, though, just knowing you as old as I have and kind of your luck, were you the kid that got a rock?
No, I never got a rock.
I got a rock.
No.
I got a piece of candy.
No.
I got another rock.
No, I never got a rock. Thank you, though.
I waited out for the Great Pumpkin, though.
Did you?
I can see that. I can see Dave doing that.
Did you ever see the parody on The Simpsons where they do the Great Pumpkin?
I'm sure I did, but it's been a while.
It was Treehouse of Horror. It was hilarious. All pumpkins are racists. Because Nelson was going to stab a white pumpkin. And he's like, go ahead, I don't care.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And they got pissed off because they had roasted like pumpkin seeds. It's like, you eat the unborn?
Yeah. That's what Linus says when Lucy carves the pumpkin. You killed it.
See what you miss out by not watching The Simpsons?
You're right. Hey, my Simpsons goes back to when it was a part of the Tracy Ullman show.
Yeah,
so.
I remember watching that
when
it first came out.
So I just never really continued with it after.
Okay.
Not intentionally, just it was part of that.
Like three-minute shorts.
Right. But it wasn't enough to make me go, I got to watch this forever. So. And it's been on for forever.
31 years.
Yeah, so. I'll get caught up.
Plus
I'll binge it.
Yeah.
I'll binge it for the next 4 years.
Binge it this weekend.
Yeah. Well, they used to do that. It was like 14 days straight of nothing but The Simpsons. It was great. You wake up, watch The Simpsons.
Explains so much, Pat.
Hey. It is what it is.
Okay. Well, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Pat.
Brandon.
Spencer.
Mike is off goofing around, goofing off somewhere. I think he said in Wisconsin. So.
Oh, yeah, I remember him saying that.
Yeah. He just doesn't care. He's not committed.
He should be committed.
Probably. Probably. So, news-wise, again, I'm not seeing any comic news. Like,
not
some stuff,
news.
Like, I know Aftershock did a deal. Well, Aftershock did a deal with a media company, but the guy who owns Aftershock also owns the media company. So,
is it really a deal, or is it just taking
right,
money out
and
of the right
exactly?
And
I was looking at it to see because I was concerned. I wanted to see the percentages because, like, that's what happened with Valiant, where Valiant made a deal with a media company and then the media company bought out all the Valiant people, type of thing. So I was worried about that, but then when
they
I saw
it with a foreign, because they did it
right,
with
right,
Chinese
but this
company.
The company's name is like Bell Reeve, so it could be anything.
Yeah,
but then when I looked deeper. Ken, I apologize, I forget his name. I had dinner with him out in Portland with a bunch of other people, but apparently
he
owns,
took a meeting with you.
He did. He owns both companies, so he's. Okay. But I guess they're just using that to get some media stuff. So that's good.
Maybe we'll get a Rough Riders TV show.
Maybe I know they're talking Baby Teeth. Baby Teeth was one they definitely named.
We need more Rough Riders.
Yes.
And not only do we need more Rough Riders, we need to see like some of the future teams that they teased.
Yeah.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah, I don't remember. I mean, there's always movie option news.
Well,
stuff.
Marvel signed a bunch of exclusive...
colorists? Letterers?
No, artists.
Okay.
They
made a big deal a while ago about
it.
A colorist.
They used to have the Young Guns program.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It's like the Stormbreakers.
Yeah, Renegades
now
or something?
Stormbreakers.
Stormbreakers.
Well, I think because a lot of the Young Guns were like 36.
Yeah, yeah. When Deodato was a Young Gun, it's like, wait, he was in the 90s. Some of them definitely aren't new. I remember looking at the list.
Yeah, but they're
it's
exclusive.
Really like up and comers, though.
Yeah.
And the one that I saw a bunch of people making a big deal out of was Peach Momoko.
Yeah. But all she does is covers.
Yeah. And.
So
is
you know,
do interiors?
Not that
not,
I know of. Yeah,
right. But
personally,
for Marvel, that's important.
It's very almost like pastel pencil kind of work.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get it.
Well, Marvel does like 14 covers for all their books. It's important to have a good cover artist.
Well, she's coming up. I think next week there's a Dynamite book, and she does like three covers for it.
See,
but some of those artists are good. Like
oh yeah.
RB Silva.
Yeah, but he's been doing stuff for a long time, so that's just what kind of surprises
me. Like to me, the news is not that the news. Oh, is it just that?
Well, they're not exclusive.
Yes,
Mobile.
They are. The Stormbreakers are exclusive to Marvel. That's the whole
really
deal.
Okay. I didn't realize that because she does a ton of stuff for different companies.
Yeah, and she's not going to anymore.
But that's going to limit her popularity. You know,
I'm sure she's getting compensated.
Oh, I'm sure too. But I'm just saying, I wonder if her demand will drop and then.
So, but all the artists are very different. You know, it's not like Marvel's going for a house style or anything like that. And it's also not like a developmental, like, because what I'd like to see Marvel do is, like, let's bring in some young creators who are really skilled and, you know, bring them in, teach them to draw all the Marvel characters and kind of develop them.
Develop the house style.
Yeah, and have Marvel books look consistently good.
Yeah.
But...
Well, they also don't have, like, how they used to have Marvel Spotlight and things like that, where you could put short stories in there and you know, kind of test out your people. You know, here's a, you have 4 pages, do what you can.
Well, just even, like, the, you know, when they don't have things like a Moon Knight or, like a Punisher, like, some of those, like, more street level, like, well, you can get a new creator to, like, kind of... You know, do some kind of outside the box stuff or do some different things without having like a huge eye on it, with, you know, not having to worry about the book to, you know, has to sell like crazy. But, you
why
know,
do you pick on the books that I read?
I like Moonlight.
Moonlight and Punisher are like the only two Marvel books I consistently read. Picking on them.
Ghost Rider.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
And Ghost Rider.
Which one? Man, we derailed this again. But at least
no, I'm reading
comics.
The Marvel article, just looking for, see where it says exclusive.
But Brandon's right, though. They did say she was exclusive. Her name I did read.
Okay, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But see, the thing is, though, like, it's like, you know, you have these, you sign all these guys to exclusives, but are they going to be able to be, like, have a run on a book, or is it just going to, they just going to keep on... being shuffled from title to title every, you know, couple issues, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, they're paying them whether or not they're drawing for them.
Well, yeah.
Some of those guys, I think you're going to see them consistently, like R.B. Silva, I think you're going to see consistently on X-Books.
Because, like, I don't know about you, Dave, but I know, like, I think one of the reasons I have sometimes getting in a hot trouble into, like, Fantastic Four is because they keep on having, like, these roles of artists that are, like, kind of similar, but they're different people, and like it never has quite like a look. Like the book never has like a look that
it's
you.
It's tough to have a consistent vision with when you keep changing the artist. Some of the best FF runs have been with regular artists, John Byrne and Mark Waid and Ringo. But yeah, that'd be nice if you get somebody permanent on there.
At least they were going to do the switch off, like have the like. These are the two guys. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this guy's right. Gonna do a run on this title, and then like these two are gonna flip back and forth on this title. These two guys are gonna flip back and forth on this title.
Of course, oh yeah.
But they don't seem like there's that much planning that gets put into doing that.
Remember though, at Rebirth, they had, you know, like Wonder Woman specifically, where you had one artist did the even issues, one artist do the odd issues. And there was a distinct style difference, but they stayed consistent on their own arcs.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I don't remember anything specific else. No new books coming.
Did you see there was a trailer for... It's like an Alan Moore movie?
Mm-mm.
So, I don't think it's coming out here anytime soon. Who knows when there's a theater, but like
there's no theaters opening in England either.
It's an Alan Moore movie that he wrote, somebody else directed, but he actually plays a character in it. And if you watch the trailer, what's it called?
Warlock Jones and a Temple of I Don't Give a Damn.
It's
I don't think that would be the term.
Well, this is a PG podcast, that's why it's he's still
Man,
gonna
Man in the Moon, I think is what it's called.
He's still gonna bitch about the adaptation of his own work.
So, look, It looked interesting. It was the kind of thing where it's like, oh, was it going to stream anywhere? And it's not, so.
So good luck.
It's fiction. Yeah. It's a fictional story.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, just an English movie.
Okay.
The other thing I saw is the MODOK cartoon.
Okay.
It's coming out. It's supposedly going to advertise a tie-in MODOK comic book.
Yeah. Yeah, so. That's coming, because that's going to be a big seller.
You're going to
order
a
lot.
Was it going to even be print?
Hopefully there's 20 covers.
If it is advertised on Disney Plus, it might. Depending upon the tone of the book and the tone of the cartoon, you never know.
True. Yeah. It's MODOK.
Well, my thing would be worried about if they print it and it just doesn't come out just digitally.
That's a DC thing.
Though. They may or may not have been thinking about this back then, but when you look at MODOK, he's actually built to sell toys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, he's built as if he was an action figure. So I could see Disney running with that and going, hey, let's make a more comedic tone and let's see what we can do with this to see how many units we can move.
And then baby MODOK.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have MODAM, his girlfriend.
Which is short for MODAMSEL.
MODOG.
Yeah, MODOG.
Perfect. Perfect.
I don't know. That's the kind of thing that could be, like, insanely popular.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's the new Daredevil. Or not Daredevil. Deadpool. It's the new Deadpool.
It's new Daredevil. Oh.
Yeah, Daredevil was not.
Somebody needs to talk to Chip. Yeah.
MODOK's a blind lure from Hell's Kitchen? I don't remember that issue.
I think it was at the end of the
even
first
though that
one.
He floats, would he still have, like, the cane?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we do have one question. From... Where'd it go? Where'd it go? Zach asked, rank the DC crises from best to worst. I think the original has to still be the best.
Yeah. Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Yeah.
The
crisis that begat all the others.
Yeah, but the problem with Crisis on Infinite Earths is it's a dense book, and if you are not deeply versed in the DC universe, it's a tough read.
You can just say that for almost all the Crisis books, though.
That's
Final
true.
Crisis made perfect sense.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Beginning
yeah.
to end.
Absolutely.
Identity Crisis is... I think somebody could just pick up.
Oh, absolutely. Scene. That's just a murder mystery. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm not saying the quality is bad, but if someone walked in off the street and said, hey, I'm looking for a crisis book,
No.
I would not hand them that.
No.
But
honestly, I'd hand them Flashpoint before I did that. And that's, it's not a crisis, but it is a crisis. Like, yeah.
What is the criteria for?
I think it has to be a crisis in the title.
Oh, well, because Dark Metal is the anti-crisis.
And Zero Hour is a crisis, right?
Yeah. Blackest Night.
That would be my lowest.
Yeah, Blackest Night.
See, I would have considered, and it would be in just the ones that have, like, the five that have the crisis, like the title of crisis.
I would argue, though, that Flashpoint is a crisis, even though it doesn't have it in the title. It completely resets the universe. Rebirth would be another one, because it does, in fact, reset the universe from the beginning.
What are the crises? There was Infinite. I don't really remember Infinite Crisis.
I enjoyed Infinite
Crisis. I read it when it came out in issues, but never again. And I couldn't tell you a specific about it.
General consensus on that is, but I enjoyed that.
I think that's the inherent problem with those crises. They don't matter after they happen.
Well, except for, what, Flash was dead for, what, 25 years or something?
Yeah.
And even Supergirl was dead, and then they brought her back as a clone or something like that, but it wasn't Supergirl.
It wasn't until that low Batman Superman series. Is that the first time she got
I think when she
back?
Came back, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. But Barry Allen as the Flash was dead for, you know, 25 years before they brought him back.
But if you make, like, a top 20 DC stories of all time list, Like, there, I don't think there's a single Crisis that makes it on there, other than to have, like, a token Crisis on
Yeah, I liked Final Crisis, just, but that's because I'm a Morrison junkie, so.
But I'd also say that's partially because there are some Batman titles that are just, you know, The Killing Joke. If you like comic books, you have to read The Killing Joke. You have to read Long Halloween. You have to read Year One.
And I think there's the same's true with Superman and Green Lantern.
Oh, yeah. Superman for All Seasons is an outstanding book.
Oh, that's so good.
That's probably my favorite Superman book.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman is the only character that I can't think of, like, a... What's that one story that everybody needs to read? Because Batman's got a dozen of them.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do a top 20 Batman list and still not run out. Some of that quality might dip at the bottom, but you can still get there. So, we have no answers.
Correct, yes. The only other question, Jermaine wants to call into a podcast. I just said I was running late today. So, we'll get him next time.
Yeah.
Just to set it up and everything.
Yeah,
we
need to have Lord Retail on here.
Yeah, we will. We will.
Can we do, like, the message from the king?
We can. Yes, we can. My son got a new laptop that I had to pick up at high school, and so when I ran the dogs home, I ran that to them, and that took an extra half hour. So.
Are they still out of school?
Yeah. They're still doing from home, and I guess, like, they had Chromebooks, but that was a stopgap, and now it's an actual HP laptop and all sorts of fancy stuff. But basically, it was pull up, open your trunk, we'll put it in the trunk, you drive away. You know, you show them the name, so they check you off the list, so... Like a no contact thing.
You end up with dope or dead bodies when that way.
I didn't see a dead body.
There's just a torso in
there. He didn't scream when I opened the trunk room to pull it out. So.
Well, it was dead. Dead bodies don't scream.
Well, I meant my son when he pulled the laptop.
Oh, okay.
So I think he would have had a reaction head.
Kids are desensitized to violence.
That's true. Yeah. That is true. I do think a dead body, though, would.
Or maybe
if nothing else, generate a... What's that?
Jeez, you know. Dad, another dead body?
Yeah, hey, we don't talk about that. Oh.
Running out of rugs.
Yes.
So, Dave, what did you read?
Yeah.
I saved you, you're good.
No, it was funny. I've been watching Psych because I was watching... I always watch Columbo, and then I watched all of Monk, and then somebody saw I was watching Monk and said that I needed to watch Psych, so I've been watching Psych. Or mostly it's been playing. And yesterday I was alphabetizing the boxes, and all of a sudden a voice popped up on the TV that just stopped me cold. And I looked at it. I don't know if anybody here or anybody watches Letterkenny. But it's a great show. And it was the lead actor from Letterkenny was on just a little guest spot on this episode of Psych. And just he has a very... I would never say he has a distinctive voice, but when you hear it out of context, you immediately know who it is.
Who's the actor?
His name is Jared Kiso. He's Canadian. It's a Canadian show.
Okay.
It's a great show. But it was just so funny when he popped up on the episode. It just stopped me cold. And I'm like, wait a minute, rewind. It was just very funny. So when you're saying rugs, just a lot of people have been wrapped up in rugs, you know, on these... Murder show, so that's right. What I immediately thought of was...
Right, that's why I mentioned...
No, I know, but that's where I went. I wasn't freezing and not knowing where to go. I was trying to figure out...
You just knew I was on
to I was trying to figure out how to bring that up in context, but
okay.
I couldn't. So, Dave, what'd you read?
Start with X of Swords.
Yeah, X Factor...
X-Factor number 4,
right.
Yes.
Yeah. That actually didn't say... Well, it said X-Factor number 4 in the smallest typeface. Like, it's smaller than the printing on my signs. It was really small, because I had a couple people go, where's X-Factor? It's right there. Oh,
because it said X of Swords.
Well, X of Swords was huge, but it also had the Chadwick Boseman header.
Yeah.
So everything got shrunk down, but...
In fairness, they didn't know he was going to die.
No.
That part.
I'll go grab a copy just so you can... Ow.
So,
the last page of it is good, too.
Apocalypse and Richter and Rockslide, they're back on Krakoa after getting poisoned, and Rockslide was kind of cut in half. So in this issue,
what issue is that? Looking quickly,
number four.
Right, but I'm just saying it's not exactly.
It really, if you guys, hey, go get me X Factor, I'd probably never grab this.
Right. So, okay, sorry.
So in this issue, they try to bring
all the wounded people back.
Resurrect Rock Slide right away. So we find out when you die in Otherworld.
Which could he? Hickman is such a good writer. Couldn't he come up with a better name than Otherworld?
Yeah. There was a TV show like on CBS like in the early 80s named Otherworld.
Because Otherworld is already the Captain Britain land.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm. I say, there's a lot of things.
That's why calling this whole thing Otherworld.
Yeah. But Captain, if you were reading Excalibur, this is where Otherworld got introduced.
Okay.
Because Excalibur, they've been dicking around in.
Yeah.
Doesn't Captain Britain tie into that any? It could be the same other.
Right. It just.
No, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then, so he didn't name it. It was named years ago. Why is Apocalypse on that?
He's the one that started all this. Because he built the portal to that other land.
All of them are together now.
He cut the two islands apart and let his kids go away. And now they're really mad.
Okay. I mean, I get it. They redeem Magneto, but I don't see Apocalypse as somebody that can be redeemed.
Well, not so much redeemed, but remember, all mutants are equal now. Good ones and bad ones.
Yeah, I read Animal Farm. That doesn't last for long.
Apocalypse is, like, the core of this story.
So. Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. And he's not... It's not that they're redeeming him. It's more that he is, like... I would say he's the only one, like, equipped to, you know, deal with this situation.
And so he dies this issue.
No, he doesn't die.
Not quite, but he's...
No, in fact, the opposite. He's the one who is saying, like, mutants cannot rely on resurrection. It will weaken us. It will ultimately destroy us. In fact, when Richter's there and saying, you know, who gives a shit, I'm just going to die, he starts attacking Healer.
Right.
He's trying to, like, save him. Because, and that's his whole point with the, earlier in the X of Swords, or the X-Men, I think it was, they have the contest where if you lose your powers, like, you can't just kill yourself and be resurrected. You have to fight him and prove that you're, like,
worthy of your powers.
Worthy. So, you know, he's the one who really are keeping the mutants strong.
At the end, he's not in good shape.
Right, but isn't he like thousands of years old?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's really easy to say resurrection is not good for the mutant race when you can't die. It's like rich people saying to poor people, why don't you just get a better job?
But
you're kind of in a bad position to make that statement.
Right, but he can die.
Can he?
Yeah. You could kill Apocalypse.
Okay.
He's immortal, but he's not unkillable.
Well, they're
actually I think that
they're introducing this issue that you can't die if you're
immortal.
The same way, like
if you die in another world.
Yeah, he's killable. Like he won't die of natural causes, but you could kill him.
He can kill from trauma.
No.
Okay.
And the other thing in this issue, we have Polaris remembers.
Yeah, like somehow she channels the prophecy.
Yeah, so she creates this casting circle.
Out of Rock Slide's body.
Out of Rock Slide's body.
She's really good with stone. That was very impressive.
For 10 spaces for the 10 warriors and their swords. And then when everybody's there, that's going to open the portal.
Right.
For the tournament.
But the thing was, Rock Slide, they resurrected, but it's not Rock Slide as they knew him. It's because he died in Otherworld, it's an amalgam of Rock Slide.
Yeah.
It almost seems like he's kind of like Warlock, with the weird body proportions and things now.
Yeah. Well, they use Rock Slide as a Trojan horse.
Right.
So, they... what's his name? Summoner, like in a past issue, I don't know what it was in, but he plays this game. I think it was X-Men. He plays a game with Rock Slide.
Yeah.
Right, where he says inside is something else. Yeah. Yeah.
So it seems like from that, he either, like, maybe figured out that he could use Rock Slide as a weapon if he kills him in another world, or maybe he, like, you know, planted something in his head that he knew would still be there even after he was resurrected. But anyway, they use, after he's resurrected, he's not himself. He's this amalgam. And I wasn't really sure how it worked, but they used his body to attack all of the Cerebro helmets.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those Cerebro helmets is in the area where Moira MacTaggert is. So you see her in the background. Mm-hmm. She doesn't say anything or do anything, but we know she's there because of that. So, but I thought this was actually really good. Like, this is taking the story, moving it forward. It added a lot to, like, the stakes. Right, there's final death. They gave you hints at, like, who the warriors are going to be from, like, the I don't know what you call it. The thing that was implanted in Polaris, and she's reading it out.
Yeah, the prophecy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, who everybody's going to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, you can kind of tell, okay, who's that? Who's that?
Yeah. First person is magic.
Mm-hmm.
And the soul,
now, does she have to stand on that
sword.
Spot until everybody else shows up?
Yeah.
Because when she stood there, it lit up, and I'm like, does she have to stay there now?
Yeah. But everybody else is, like, out of town.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've got to, like, go. Well, they've all got to go run and get their swords.
Yeah, find the 10th one's going to be. She's like, oh, yeah. God, about time.
This is like 22 parts or 24 parts, right?
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have but the thing is, there's 3 issues this week. So we're going to be a quarter of the way through it next week. Just about.
Yeah, because there were. What'd you do, Pat?
I didn't do anything.
So, pulling over there.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I can see him flashing lights.
Yeah, he's got someone pulled over.
The thing that gets
me, 'cause there were 3. Today was 3, 4, 5.
Right, but I mean.
Yeah. So it's going to be. And next week there's 3, so it's going to go through pretty quick.
Yeah, that's. It just seems like that's a lot of parts to a story.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Be careful. Cops are out there.
But, and I know I always complain about the X-Men books, but I counted. There was 6 of those white pages.
Yeah.
And each one of them was basically just summed up what happened on the previous, like, couple pages.
Mm-hmm. Well,
like a TPS report from like Office Space, like that's what it kind of reminded me of. It was just because it had like signatures at the bottom and stuff, like saying that we can't regenerate people anymore and stuff like that. And it was just like, this is what I'm paying my extra $1 for. Is this these 6 pages?
Well, 2 of them described 2 of the worlds. One was the Merlin world, and one was like his daughter who rebelled against him. So part of my concern is just he's introducing all this stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on.
I mean, if it's 22 issues worth of story, that's great.
Yeah.
But historically, it's been, you know, the first issue of a Marvel thing is good, and then there's
End, this needs to be giant size. Oh, and we need another issue because we forgot we needed to wrap it up by now.
Right.
And Omega.
Right, but it's one thing when there's 7 issues that goes to 8 or 9. It's another thing when there's 22 issues. Yeah. That's a lot of money. Yeah.
So I just hope it's not one issue for introducing each of the swords. That would be bad.
I have a feeling that's what it's going
to
be.
Yeah. I have a feeling until we get to the midpoint. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it very well could be. Because I know, like, Wolverine is him going into hell to get his sword that he forgot down there when he died or something like that.
It's always the last place you look.
Yep.
Okay, what else you got? New one, The Department of Truth.
I really like that book.
Yeah,
it was good.
I really hated the art.
Okay.
I understand why the art was the way it was, because, like,
it's supposed to be
hazy. Like, the reality is kind of, like, fluid, and everything's, like, is this true, is it not? But, like,
when they go to the end of the world, it was really hard to tell what was going on.
Yeah, that was the one page that got me. But, man, was this fantastic.
Every character is a white guy, so it's, like, it's hard to tell people apart.
So are you trying to say we all look alike?
Yes. But
Wait, am I looking in the mirror? No, that's Dave. Sorry.
But it's a special agent Colt Turner. He sees something he's not supposed to see, and these agents bring him into the Library of Congress to interrogate him because he went to a Flat Earth Society convention, and he meets these billionaires who are funding these crazy parts of the internet, and he sees a video of the moon landing with a guy standing in the background.
It was Stanley Kubrick.
Yeah, yeah. It was Stanley Kubrick left on the cutting room floor.
That was the thing that I... Like, it made me laugh, but I don't know if it was intended to be funny. How they go, the stand-in for the Koch brothers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right.
I can't remember their names, but they're supposed to be. Yeah, they're supposed to be the Koch brothers.
Yeah.
They come in and they're like, "You're an FBI agent," and you would think like, "Oh, we should be suspect of you." But instead, they're like, "It's great to have an FBI agent aboard. Like, let's put you right into the inner circle."
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it's in that inner circle where he sees the
woman.
Yeah, you may want to vet these people a little bit before you bring them.
But then they fly him to the edge of the Earth so that he can actually see the edge of the Earth.
Well, and the reason why it's the edge of the Earth is apparently reality is kind of flexible. And if enough people believe bullshit, it somehow becomes true.
This whole conceit that they want to keep conspiracy theories with the fringes on the fringes of society, so the majority of people don't believe it. Man, is that a fantastic idea?
Yeah. You know, he keeps thinking he's going to be killed, and they're like, "We're not killing you. Keep it up, and we will." But
then we find out who the special.
Yeah,
agent
the big
is.
Twist at the end of who the guy in charge of this Department of Truth is was
Lee
very
Harvey
well done.
Oswald.
Yeah, that was cool.
It's like. Okay.
I liked it.
You hooked me on this last page.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked that a lot.
It's a mini, right?
I don't know.
Is it only like.
It doesn't say of, so I don't know.
Because I could do like 4 issues of this. I don't want to read like 12.
Because my guess is it'll probably be an arc, and then if it does well enough, it'll get a second arc type of thing.
Yeah. But it's Tinian.
But it's Tinian,
I like Tinian's
right,
writing,
right, yeah.
So.
I don't know. But nobody else thought the that art was like
The art was.
I may not.
It was definitely not mainstream style art.
No, and it wasn't.
It was more like Vertigo style art, which this book is very Vertigo. Yeah, well,
to me,
yeah, just different.
It's like, oh, this would have been at home in 1996.
Well, and I think the coloring had something to do with that too. It looked like it was like watercolor, and that sometimes it just. Kind of lends itself to things blending to the point. Like I said, the page where they went to the edge of the earth, it was incredibly difficult to tell what was going on.
Yeah.
The other thing is, he said, "Here there be monsters," but there weren't actually monsters.
No.
It was just
the
wall.
So.
Well, we didn't see what was on the other side. And
that's what I was hoping there'd be monsters. I thought, oh, monster.
In due time, I think there'll be monsters. Lastly, Fantastic Four.
Didn't read it because they shorted me a bunch of issues. So,
you on that, Spencer? Did you read that?
Yep.
This is kind of an interlude issue.
Yeah, because next one's the big one where nothing will ever be the same again.
Until it is.
With the new status quo with Ben and Alicia adopting the Kree and Skrull kids. And they're all back in New York City. And Franklin is on Krakoa, and he has an X-Men. uniform on.
Okay.
I think just because he's was over there, he wants to be wearing what all the cool kids wore. Like, you know what I mean? That's what I kind of chalked it up as.
And he has an earring now, so he's rebelling even more. Then Iceman brings him back to New York, and then they have this, he gets it, Johnny's feeling left out because he's the only one, like, who doesn't have kids now. And he brings him. Iceman brings Franklin back to New York, and Johnny and Bobby get into an argument over whether Iceman has ever been a member of the Fantastic Four.
Which I wanted to ask you because I know you've read for a while. You know, is that like an actual?
I don't know.
An actual story, or is that just
Spider-Man had been?
Yeah,
but
I don't remember Iceman because they do a flashback of when Iceman left the original X-Men and helped the Fantastic Four
for like a day.
This alien. And it's drawn, Paco Medina draws it in the Jack Kirby style, which is pretty cool.
Okay.
And I don't remember any...
I don't know, maybe they did an issue or something yeah, like that.
It's,
like,
it's
you
possible,
know.
But I'm
yeah,
not
but
aware
just
because
he teamed up didn't make him part of the Fantastic
yeah,
Four.
Well, that's
yeah,
the
that's,
argument.
That's the argument.
I mean...
Because when they... when
the Fantastic Four is teamed up with the X-Men, but it doesn't mean they hang out at the mansion.
When Iceman takes... They get through the security of Four Yancey Place, and security recognizes Iceman as a member of the Fantastic Four. And John's
okay.
like, you're not a member of the Fantastic Four. You never... You were never an official member.
And then because he kept on saying, because whenever he decided to go home for a day, he went, because that's like whenever he was still basically just like a thin snowman kind of looking guy.
Yeah.
So like he made a four on his chest. He's like, I had the four and everything. Like.
Yeah.
He was the fifth Beatle.
And the dynamic with the kids are funny. There's some funny stuff with the kids because the boy is wearing a Yankees jersey.
So yeah, so like he like pledges allegiance to the Yankees
yeah,
now to death.
The Metropolitans of New York are my sworn enemy now. So it was a fun issue. That's all I got.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that.
Shang-Chi.
I read that.
I enjoyed that quite a bit.
Yep. Art was a little sketchy at the beginning. Yeah. I wasn't sure, but it either grew on me or got better. I kind of started taking less notice of it,
yeah.
but
I completely knew the character first time I read anything.
Oh, see, I read the old stuff.
You
oh.
sold it to me when you said it. You know, it's Bruce Lee is James Bond.
Yeah, and it made reference to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
It sounds like, and you know, I don't, and I thought his father was supposed to be Fu Manchu.
It is, but they can't use the
they
name.
Can't use the name Fu Manchu, so they called him
something
else. Something
else, right. Zengzu or just something.
Yeah.
I don't want to say generic, but generic.
Yeah.
But basically he's died and his spirit controls the way his organization works.
It's like the Wheel of Fortune board and
right.
he picks who the leader is based on that.
Right. And there's been a and, like, the staff was
there's
in
like
charge.
Clans.
Yeah, they're little clans in the organization. Staff and hammer and
hand,
dagger
fist.
And hand. And I guess the staff got either in a dispute or usurped, or did it change when she killed him?
She
but
was
hammer,
hammer
went...
She was Sister Hammer.
Yeah, and she kind of went off on him.
Yeah.
And then after he was deposed... She wasn't then chosen. The light
Shang-Chi
went off on Shang-Chi. And so she sends her people to get him. And when they get there, they decide not to get him, kind of thing.
Yeah, it's kind of when they don't really want her to be in charge. So
right.
They kind of... It's not that they necessarily want him, but better him than her.
Right. And he doesn't know what all's going on.
Yeah.
And it turns out
he's making pastries with
right with grandma.
Grandma Wong.
Yeah, grandma and her, and then her
niece shows up.
Her lawyer niece, and then someone else is there to protect him. And I think she was from the before times type of thing.
Yeah, it seemed like he knew, like she was. His
they knew each other
or something like that. Yeah.
It turns out that Hammer is his younger sister.
Yes.
And so now he's going to protect her, and she wants to kill him. So.
Yeah.
Dun dun dun.
My main problem with this was it was very generic and tropey, and the only tie to the Marvel Universe was Fing Fang Foom.
Correct.
Because I was really thinking, oh, he's, you know, he's in New York, there's going to be other, you know.
See, I see that as a plus, not as a minus. Because when books get tied into the Marvel Universe, then whenever there's these events and other things... They start unloading on the character, and this is only supposed to be a 6-issue mini, so keep it away.
Yeah, but I guess the way I'm coming at it is more like, why would I read Shang-Chi over Firepower when it's basically the same kind of book, right? And to me, the argument would be, well, Shang-Chi set in the Marvel Universe, they're going to use those characters that
right.
you already love,
right?
And It's none of that.
Yes,
I grew up watching kung fu movies. That's why I'm reading it.
Right, but and I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying for the comic book that's supposed to tie into the Marvel movie, you know, that's the whole reason they're getting a Shang-Chi.
Oh yeah,
book,
absolutely.
It's right.
Prime the audience that's not going to read it.
It doesn't really feel like a Marvel universe book.
I don't see that as a negative, but I understand why you do.
Yeah.
And it's good to get Fin Fang Foom in a book.
Yeah.
Because he's such a ridiculous character anyway. So if you can work him in, that's a plus. Batman 3 Jokers, number 2.
Read that.
Yep. I read that.
I just don't even know what to make of this.
I don't know
what's going on.
I'm not liking it. I'm not enjoying any of the art's nice, but the story makes no sense. I don't know where it's going or how it's going to wrap up in an issue.
Like, why is Jason Todd and
Batgirl trying to make out? Yeah, they're trying to redeem Jason Todd in this, but I don't know if that's not really the book people.
But how do you redeem him by him murdering a Joker?
Right.
Well, I don't even have a problem with that. It's just, this is not the place where I would redeem that character. If you're going to redeem him in main continuity.
I feel like he doesn't need to be redeemed.
No. No, and that's
like,
and you're right.
Better in main continuity. Like, don't deal with any of that. Just have him be the, you know.
He's the black sheep of the Bat family.
Yeah,
that's what it should be.
Yeah, he's the Bat guy who'll shoot you in the leg and pistol whip you. Like, that's a good place for him, I feel like.
He's also the guy that was literally murdered and then resurrected. If someone's going to go off the rails, it needs to be him for it to make sense. And he's also an example of failure for Batman. So as long as he's there, he can't ever overestimate the abilities of a Robin. Whereas if Jason's not there, that constant reminder's not there.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. The scene where Barbara and him make out makes absolutely no sense to me.
The scene right before that, where she's beside him on the motorcycle and he's in the car and they're talking over the comms, and he basically says, I wish Jason was more like you, or I thought he would be more like you. I thought he'd be strong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like that, because it's like, oh.
It shows Batman's regrets. Yeah.
And it shows that Batman thinks, Batgirl is stronger than Jason Todd. So,
well, I think what bothers me about the whole Jason Todd Batgirl thing is Batgirl and Dick were a thing. And Dick grew up with her, and Jason Todd was still a child.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're the same age, and that just doesn't make sense. Yeah. Like, it just, you know, she should be about 10, 15 years older than him. So just that part just kind of seems odd.
But you could say that about like, everybody in the Bat family.
No, that's true, but, I mean, they aged him where they didn't age other characters.
Because Bruce would have to be, like, 65 in order to, like, make the times.
Yeah. Well, no, and that's true.
Yeah.
I know people made a big deal about we're going to learn some shocking truth about the Joker beforehand, but that, I saw all that, that's going on in his head. And just like we've done before with, we don't know that that's real. He just may be having a psychotic break. He is the Joker. So I can't say for sure that that's his real history. I do like the idea that they're making a bunch of new Jokers. And I think their motivation's good, that you become a Red Hood before you become a Joker. I'm okay with that, and that's why they were doing what they were doing to Jason. But there's just not enough there. I wish there was. Mm-hmm. But I think that this, the book itself just suffers from 5 years of, oh my God, they're going to tell us that there's three Jokers. And to this point, we have no better understanding of what's going on or where the three Jokers came from or why there's three Jokers. And there's two now. But why that is what it is. And that's what I was hoping this book was going to be, is how were there three Jokers? How were they operating? And how did no one catch on?
And I also feel like you held this for 5 years. Why would you put it out at the exact same time
as
you have Joker war going on?
Because
I'm like Jokered out. And I feel like had they put this out you know, at another time, like next year when we're in that Poison Ivy junk from what is the Batman Joker War book we haven't talked about yet, but like it put that in 2021. You know,
I think it was done. They wanted to get it out so they'd have another book to sell at bookstores.
Yeah.
I think that's the entire reason it's out right now.
So we can talk about the Warzone book, which I didn't think was horrible, but it looked like it was just, it was setting up a Bane and Joker storyline and then the Poison Ivy storyline for 2021.
So
it wasn't really needed.
I really only liked one, maybe two stories from that book. There were,
I liked the Clown Killer one.
The art was a little on that one, but I that was one of the ones that I was like a little higher on. I like the Bane one because I felt like that was, at least maybe I'm alone on this, but I feel like that was a James Tynion doing a critique on the Tom King run. You wasted it. You killed the most important person for Batman after his parents. You know, the second
person. And you didn't even do it in front of him.
You didn't have him on the phone. You did it in front of the bird.
Yeah. And, like, I feel like that is a James Tynion critiquing the whole King run. Saying,
you
wasted it.
I think that's fair.
You know? And Bane is the stand-in for Tom King.
I think Tom King would appreciate you saying that.
But is it not the truth? The Joker's right. Like,
no,
you had that epic moment, and you didn't do it in front of
Batman.
And in fact, after you did it, you had him on a beach the following issue, and they didn't even address it.
Yeah,
it's like
you know,
you build your fire to blow it out. Like that's the I don't know, but yeah, that was the only thing that really it was like, okay, that I get, that I like. The Lucius Fox story was like completely throwaway.
Yeah,
and it would fit in earlier, right? In the, like, that's not what's happening right now.
Yeah, it was. It was right after he got rescued and got the implant or the spiky things taken at the punchline put in. He was still feeling the effects of that.
Okay.
But it basically sets up that Tim Fox is going to be part of the Bat family at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as those anthology books go, I actually felt like I got something for it. It felt like that kind of mattered a little bit more. Most of them do seem like just throwaway stories where this is kind of setting things up. And you know, like the Tynion one and even the Poison Ivy one, I felt like they were better than what we would normally get out of one of those books. I don't know that I would have called it the Joker War Zone, but
yeah,
you know, could have been the Batman 2021 preview special.
Yeah. So the Clown Killer part, when they demasked him, was I supposed to know who he is?
No. He's a nobody.
He's just
his origin is revealed in 100.
Literally, okay. He's just some kid.
Mm-hmm. All right. Because when they, like, I was like, I looked at him twice, and I was like, wait, what? The other thing is, when they demasked him, they demasked the other clown. And I was kind of like, wait, who am I looking at? And I had to, like, piece it together.
Was Henchmaster in this, or was he in the other book?
Henchmaster was in this
one. Yeah, okay. He was the,
yeah, that was the one that was
Spoiler and
Kane, wasn't it?
No.
Cassie.
Orphan.
Yeah, Orphan.
Orphan.
Yeah.
That one, I definitely think the art was sketchy on.
Oh, I just think it was cartoony. Like,
yeah.
It doesn't fit a modern Batman. It's a YA art style in a mainstream Batman book.
But it even wasn't consistent. Because sometimes it was drawn more YA, and sometimes it was drawn, like, he was drawn more house style, but Cassie and Spoiler were definitely drawn more YA.
Mm-hmm.
Has
Henchmaster been in other books?
No, this was his first appearance, and hopefully his last.
I like the idea of a henchmaster, like a guy who sets everybody up with henchmen. Like, that's a very, like, Gotham, like, black market.
But you don't want to dress up. Yeah. But you don't want to dress up like a wrestler.
But yeah, he looks like one of those guys from Borderlands. You know, the hockey mask guys. It's like it doesn't fit with the character. But like the broker, like have the broker but for henchmen.
Yeah.
Like that's a cool character, at least a cool idea. This, yeah.
Well, you know, those who can do, those who can't teach. Yeah. So, but, he couldn't be a henchman himself. So, and the last one I'll talk about is Dear Becky number 5. Did you read that, Colin?
Mm-mm.
Okay, well, you missed nothing.
How many is
this whole series has been kind of that.
The last issue, I thought, kind of set it on pace a little bit better. This one, it really didn't. The first part was him, Annie, and Bobby talking in a bar, and I guess Bobby was complaining because whatever meds he's on for his transition, the price jumped up so he can't afford them anymore. And yeah, it was like 3 pages of that. And then it got into... The Thor stand-in talking about, you know, Stormfront. Basically, he's, you know, it's the same stuff we've seen where he's blabbing what's going on in Stormfront's organization. And the end of it at first is Billy essentially saying, you know, he's writing in the journal to get rid of Becky because it's the only way he can do what he has to do.
Okay.
And then it you know, Huey hides the book and Annie basically catches him.
Okay.
So, you know, it potentially now she's gonna know that the book's there and whatever. I had such high hopes. Like, no. But I guess now I'm invested in it because I'm 2/3 of the way through it. But that doesn't mean it's great. So, that's it.
All right. Let's see. I read Resistance, number 6.
Read that.
Yep.
So this one just kind of wraps it up a little bit. Like, I don't know. Honestly, this felt a little boring at points. But the main character who's like, can speak to everybody.
The Professor X of the Resistance.
She dies. But it's revealed that like the...
She was the only thing keeping the virus at bay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, we will now have more, let's call them mutants. I don't know what they're... What do they call them in this?
Powered.
Yeah, the powered people. So we're going to
have potentially more. Potentially we'll have other, but the other potential is just that the virus will run loose again and wipe out the rest of the population. But there's apparently more... powered people like her
that
just aren't as powerful as her, so they kind of have to work together in order to do what she did.
Yeah.
But I guess the only reason why she was so powerful was because her sister died and essentially gave her, like they were able to share powers or something like that.
I don't know. I like that series, but I feel like it ran out of steam a little bit, at least for me. I don't know. Maybe that's because I picked up like the first, I think, 3 or 4 issues together and read them all at once.
Okay.
That might have been why. But,
I...
Because this first issue is really, like...
Yeah.
They dump. And then these ones, like, the last three, like, really slowed it down.
Well, I wonder if their plotting changed because of the actual pandemic at all. You know, it may have been that they wanted to do other things, but it hit a little too close to home, so they kind of adjusted their plan a little bit. But I enjoyed that we kind of got an explanation of why the virus stopped. We know that we're going to get a second season of it, and now we kind of know where that's going to go. And then the Moss, which is supposed to be the offshoot of it. I think that there was enough there. I understand why you're saying it kind of dumped. But again, if you're reading 3 issues all at once, it does feel like a dump.
My favorite issue is more the character-based issue when the kid goes in for the to get a superhero identity.
But that's like the third or fourth issue.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I felt like we were kind of, that was probably the best issue for us as readers learning, here's what's really going on. Because the first two issues, you really had no idea. I mean, you really didn't know what the book was about until the third or fourth issue. And you go, oh, okay, now I see what this is about. You know, I kind of thought it was going to be more, you know, what's going on with the pandemic and what does that do to the population, than these are all superheroes now.
Yeah. My only problem was I felt like with that and then, like, the year zero that, like, it ended kind of, like, abruptly. Like, I was, like, flipping through and I was reading. I was like, oh, I got a couple pages. And it's, like, I turn and it's, like...
Year Zero, I do think, ended abruptly.
Has, and then it's, like, all the back. Like, you know, it does, you know, normally it would be, like, you know, in the end or continuing, you know, next volume or anything. Like, and it just seemed like it just kind of, like... Like, you know, like, not that the story didn't wrap up, but it just was kind of, like, just going along and then, bam, all the house adds at the end.
I wish this was ongoing and just had kept, like, a little bit more of a pace.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, I don't know when the new series is
starting. I like the world a lot.
I think the other difference, though, is the Resistance, I think, tried to tell a story. Year Zero was essentially a bunch of separate character moments that they all put in the same book because they're going to tie together at some point.
Yeah, somehow.
But separately, like, they really, there was no plot to it other than people are doing different things to survive the apocalypse.
Very character driven.
Yeah. Mm. And again, not that there's anything wrong with that. I enjoyed both books quite a bit. But I certainly didn't enjoy story-wise what was going on in Year Zero. I just enjoyed the character moments.
Yeah.
Wonder Woman, like 763 or something like that?
Something like that.
I can't remember the number, but it's up there. So we finally defeat Liar Liar in this one.
Were her pants set on fire?
Yeah, it's a weird name for a character, for sure. But, so Wonder Woman and Maxwell Lord confront Liar Liar, and in order for, like, Maxwell Lord, we see him, like, whisper in Wonder Woman's ear, and we don't know what he's saying, but we find out that he has told Wonder Woman not to hear Liar Liar's voice, which effectively, like, incapacitates her power on her. So she's able to beat her up, throw the lasso on her, and then Maxwell Lord, you know, basically tells her to cool it. And then from there, Liar Liar is put in jail, but she had, like, a pet bunny. And Wonder Woman has adopted that bunny, and it seems like Liar Liar is maybe able to somehow, through that bunny, have some kind of suggestion over, I don't know, either maybe it's to spy on Wonder Woman or have some, like, suggestion over her. It's not really, like, hinted to, but now Wonder Woman has this bunny that will probably play a role in, you know, future arcs. If this isn't canceled, then... a couple of issues, but so yeah, I think the art was, I think they switched the artist back. I'm not sure if it's the exact same artist or not.
Okay,
but there were two issues where it was pretty beat art. This didn't bother me as much. I should have looked and seen if the artist was back to the person who did the first two issues, but I'm not sure, but it wasn't as bad as it had been. That's it for me, Spencer.
We already kind of talked about Zero Year a little bit, so I'll talk about Nairbiter, The Return, number 5. In this issue, we find out that the Warren that we see at the end of the original run isn't actually Warren. He is a lookalike and is a part of this, of these groups of people who are kind of going back out as the, as these new versions of the Buckaroo, serial killers. And having like this, this like game that's going on that they've been trying to show throughout the series, the return of the series. And it shows how the police officer, the chief warns, X, the cop, how she loses her eye because in the last issue she shows up at the end of the, at the end of the issue with an eye patch on, looking like, what's his name from Escape from New York?
Kind of, Snake Plissken.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
We're good. We know our stuff.
So she kind of informs them on, you know, on that, what's going on. And, and then there's some funny back and forth between the actual Warren and this imposter guy. And once they get started talking, it seems like Warren remembers or knows what they're talking about. And he's like, I know what we have to do. And it cuts to them, to the, to Buckaroo, Oregon, that is now all, like, fenced off and is all, like, in rubble and stuff like that. So, that was another good issue. Justice League, annual number 2. Batman, the issue opens up with Batman giving kind of like a red alert to the Justice League to come back to the Hall of Justice, for an emergency. Somehow, somebody, they found a body in the middle of the Hall of Justice, like in,
it,
like,
it happens.
In, like, the back part, like, where, like, the superheroes are. And they, you know, the surveillance goes out and all this stuff. So they're trying to figure out what's going on. And then once they get in the room, like, all these lockdown procedures and things that get set, that go, like if Zod would show up and the red sun, or like red radiation happening, so that happens to like weaken Superman. So like they're doing all these things. Like there's a thing they do where if the Reverse Flash showed up and he couldn't like face through the walls and stuff like that, so the Flash can just like, you know, run through and stuff. And they the whole issue is kind of basically them having to use each other's like powers and abilities in different ways and to escape and stuff like that. And it turns out that it's the Executioner from his like little mini run earlier in the Justice League series that he did, because they after the fight with him, they kept his like, you know, head like in the leak to, you know, try to keep it safe, but he was able to hack their systems to cause all that. And he even like they called like the self-destruct system, which like lists the Legion of Doom or the Hall of Justice off the ground, and once it gets like out of the atmosphere, it's supposed to explode. But they're able to cause it. They get Superman back into the sun radiation thing to give him back his strength, and they're able to make a big, like, you know, make a big enough hole through the walls of the forest so that they could escape, so Superman could escape and, like, could stop lowering in the building and stuff like that. But it was an okay annual. And then the last one I'll talk about is the Batman Superman annual. So this is, like, it's Batmite and Mr. Pictolix. It's, like,
it's just Pitlick.
Yeah. I don't know if it's, like, their kids or like their nieces and nephews of these two, but they're like the two other like kid versions of the nymphs or whatever things that they are, the whatever dimensional,
they're imps
is that right? The, or I don't know, I couldn't remember the correct word, but they're like kid versions of that, and they have these Batman and Superman toys, and they're playing, and they're arguing, like, who would beat who, you know, Superman would be Batman, no, Batman would be Superman, so they break up the fight, and they, you know, they ask what's going on, and so the kids tell them, and, you know, of course, like, well, and Batman's like, well, of course, Batman would win in a fight, and Mr. Mitzclips was like, no, of course, Superman would win in a fight, so they each use their different powers and abilities to cook up these crazy concoctions to make Superman and Batman fight each other, and like in both scenarios, at first they don't remember, and they eventually realize something's like, you know, something's happening that they can't remember, something's causing them to fight. But
and
it was just
they remember both mom's name is Martha.
Everything's fine after that.
They bro out after that.
But so they once they finally figure out what's going on, and then they get back brought back to like their dimension, and as these like little toy figures, and like Superman's able to kind of trick them into like be like, well, like, you know, you two are like our greatest our greatest adversaries or whatever, so like it's like who would ever win out a fight out of you two would be like the would probably be the winner out of, you know, them, and that's kind of able to like kind of like set them free and stuff. It was just like fun kind of just one off, you know, annual, you know, kind of deal.
So you know how if you get Mitch's Pitlick to say kill tip season, he goes away. Is there anything like that with Batmite?
I don't know.
Like, how does Batman get him to go away?
Zur-En-Arr. Oh, wait. No, sorry. That was Morrison.
Because they're both from the fifth dimension, right?
Yeah.
Mm. But that was the last thing.
Okay, we covered the ones I read, so. Sweet. I'm out. Everybody else have ones they didn't?
You forgot to mention your announcement. The one you put up on your
congratulations.
Website.
Congratulations.
Oh, yeah.
It's the first time ever. You should be proud
first
of
time ever,
two.
Yes. I came in second in the City Paper's Best of Pittsburgh issue. We were ranked the second best place to buy comics in Pittsburgh, which is pretty cool. And I thank you guys.
Because even in Pittsburgh.
Right. That was the first time I'd been invited, and I did put it at the top of the newsletter, and everybody voted, and I greatly appreciate it.
And you figure where most people probably get a lot of their comics reading, and you being number two, I think that's almost better than being number one.
There you go. Yeah. But, Phantom of the Attic in Oakland, which is not surprising, being that's the one of the big two downtown.
Right. And that's the thing, you're at a disadvantage not actually being in Pittsburgh.
Right,
Most of the people voting.
I'm going to guess most of my customers probably don't read the city paper, too.
We'll probably even know that you'd, like, a lot of people down there probably don't even know.
Right, that I exist. And that's the one good thing, and that was the one point that they made was, you know, to get the word out there because it is, you know, it'll get some attention for the store. Mm-hmm. People going, what? What's this place? So that's a nice thing where they put the website in so that people can find me and stuff. So that's cool.
And the others are chains. So there's multiple of those stores.
Right.
So
there's just little old me and Tim.
Yeah.
And the dogs. I know the dogs definitely swayed the vote. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I know that. So, but thank you. But yeah, that was cool. So
what's coming out next week?
It's another big week. It's funny. Normally I judge an invoice by the dollar amount. That's just the way to compare. But last week, the invoice was wrong, and we were overcharged $375 because they screwed up the discount. So I came off this one, so this one's probably a little lower, and this week was a little higher than it should have been. Next week's probably a little lower than it should have been. But we got Spider-Man 49 this week, which is actually $850. Next week, we get Spider-Man 50, and so the one after that will be $900 because they're just going to start adding.
Give them that idea.
I know. So that's coming out. And this one only has 7 covers.
How many did today's have?
A lot more than that.
Is that like a thick book like this week's
this
book?
One, this one's only $6.
Oh, okay.
Not the $10. We have Avengers 37. Yeah. Bad Mother. What?
I dropped that right in the nick of time.
What?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Well, this is the Goblin's back. Bad Mother 3 is next week. Bill and Ted are Doomed number 2. That one did much better than I expected. Just, I had no idea how to order a Bill and Ted book. But sold through. Cable is an X of Swords tie-in next week. Commanders in Crisis. This is one from Steve Orlando from Image. The idea basically being heroes from a bunch of different multiverses that are collapsing all arrive on Earth and stay here kind of hidden, not revealing themselves to protect Earth from being the last planet destroyed. Devil's Red Bride. This is one from Vault about the devil was a mask worn by the previous Shogun or whatever the leader was, and then he died, and Shogun. Now it's his daughter who's having to protect the town.
What was that one?
Devil's Red Bride. Yeah, that's from Vault. We have Dynamite. I'm not sure how to say that. It's Die! Exclamation point, and then Numite.
I think Jimmy Walker would
pronounce
Dynamite.
Right, fair enough. But this is one with all the different ladies of Dynamite, so it's a crossover
with Vampirella,
Red Sonja. I forget some of the others, but it only has
PG-13 porn, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah, it has about 72 covers. With
is Jungle Woman, what is it?
Jungle Girl.
Jungle Girl.
Girl.
Oh. Is she Dynamite?
They have the license to that. I don't know yet. But
I'm just trying to think of what are the other ones.
Yeah. But just to give you an idea, this is why I'm confused about Peach Momoko. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Peach Momoko covers for this book.
She did 8 covers for one book.
Yeah. Well, there are variants. She did at least 2 different ones, and then there's the Vampirella, there's the Red Sonja, there's the Vampirella Zombie, there is the Red Sonja Zombie, there's the Vampirella Black and White, the Red Sonja Black and White, the Red Sonja Zombie Living Dead, and the Vampirella Zombie Living Dead.
No cosplay cover?
On this one? No, not on this one. I think there were too many people for this one. But wait, I'm only in the D's. So relax.
That's the whole reason to do like a big crossover. You get all the cosplay girls.
True. Grendel, Kentucky 2. Now, somehow, I don't remember exactly where it was, but I want a piece of art from number 1 that is coming.
Oh, nice.
So that's pretty cool. So we'll see what we do with that. Hellions number 5 is another Ten of Swords crossover. That's where all the best art is, man. The best art goes in the bathroom. Marvel Zombies Resurrection 3. 2 just seems like it just came out. New Mutants 13 is a Ten of Swords crossover. Seven Secrets number 3 is next week. That got very interesting last issue. So I'm intrigued where that one's going. Star Wars Darth Vader's next week. True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoys National Anthem. This is the one by Gerard Way. It's based... True Lives of the Fabulous Killjoys was an album that they did, and the first one like was the story of the album, so this is the sequel. I didn't get it, so I didn't listen to the album. But people really were excited, mostly young girls. The Vein is a new one. This is from Oni. This is by Elliot Rahal, and it's basically set in 1940s Chicago. And it's vampires having to hold up blood banks to not have to kill people.
The Vein. Is that what she said?
Yeah. But it's spelled V-A-I-N, but...
Oh, now it's really confusing.
Yeah, you get it. Warhammer 40K is next week. Marnius Kalgar. We Live number 1. Shoot, this is an Aftershock one, but I don't remember what... it is about. I apologize. And then X of Swords Handbook is next week as well. So, not quite as big as this week, but
you
then Dime... Yeah.
You were about to walk out.
I was not, because it is a huge week from DC. Huge.
How many Batman books?
It's actually a light Batman week, isn't it?
Well, kind of. I'm getting damage replacements for Aquaman, Batgirl... and Batman Beyond, and Books of Magic that were damaged 2 weeks ago are finally coming in. So that's kind of a couple Batmans that don't really count. Batman and the Outsider is the last issue. Number 17 is next week. Dark Knight's Death Metal is next week.
It's
so
not a Batman book.
It's not a Batman book, but it's kind of a Batman book. Detective is next week. Detective 28, which is a Fallout of Joker War book. DC's The Doomed and the Damned, their Halloween special, is next week. Doomsday Clock, the complete collection, is next week, and I think we're going to sell a lot of those.
Oh, that reminds me that DC canceled a bunch, or postponed a bunch of trades.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Hardcovers? I know, because one of them was the
Strange Adventures?
Strange Adventures.
Oh, okay.
It's not coming out until 2021 or 20.
Well, it still has, what, 7 issues to go, so.
I can't, but anyway, they pushed it back from what they announced. And it was the one I noticed of, like, 20.
Okay. Justice League Odyssey is the last issue, number 25. Okay, now we get the Tom King run. We have Rorschach number 1 is next week. And Strange Adventures number 6 is next week. So,
how many pre-orders did you have for Rorschach?
Not as many as I expected. In the end, I only ordered, 65.
How many covers?
3. There's an A and a B, and then this also has a blank. So, yeah, there's a Jorge Fornes, there's a Jay Lee that I think got blown up on Twitter with the Comics Gate and all that fun stuff, and then there's the blank. So, that's what's coming. But, yeah, big DC week, lots of stuff, but, you know, a bunch of it is also just damage replacements. But I'm glad to get them, because if it's a lighter week, that was 4 titles that I had complete damages on, so that's good to get those in. So, we're doing horror books. For October, not a real shock. Tim made a little display. I don't know if I talked about it last week, but I think we'll probably push book club till next year. We'll just instead of trying to squeeze it in October, and then November gets crazy and December's crazy, so we'll put that off for a little bit.
What in the shit biscuit is this, man?
But like I said, you can still have like book.
We
like,
can do a Zoom book club.
We could do a Zoom.
We could, but the fun part of book club is the BSing and the sitting around, and I just don't know if I feel comfortable with, you know, everybody.
That's fair.
Sitting around the table, especially eating and drinking and masks and all that.
We can do Zoom book club and still all eat.
Oh, absolutely.
And drink and all.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
We need to set that up.
Okay.
Listen, you could still have like book club books for the month, and it's just like whenever we can have it.
That's
you
true.
Just have
months.
You know
okay.
what I mean?
Okay.
We only spend like five minutes on each book.
Right.
You know that.
Fair enough.
We have something to talk about. Whenever
okay.
We
and
get
like
back.
I said, I already have 3 books, so we're pretty good. And I know we'll get to Second Coming.
Before the Second Coming, I would hope.
well,
the second coming is in the new previews. So.
He is risen.
No, I forget what it's called.
It's something like
Chosen.
That.
It's about a baby. Yeah,
yeah,
it's about their baby. So, okay. So I think we covered everything. Websites Pittsburgh Comics, Facebook's Pittsburgh Comics, Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics, and Dave.
That's a podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See
Hopefully
ya.
With a special guest.
Hopefully, yes. I'll see if I can arrange that. See you.